Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, this week we're going to talk about meltdowns. Not meltdowns
like chocolate,
related to,
like s'mores and
not that kind of meltdown. Not the meltdown related to the Arctic or glaciers or anything like
those
that.
Kind of glaciers, that's right.
We're going to talk about meltdowns in childhood.
Meltdowns that children have.
Meltdowns that children.
Okay, what we call temper tantrums in youngsters.
Well, you know, we'll tease that apart just a little bit here at the beginning. The difference between a temper tantrum and a meltdown. But yeah, we're going to talk about some of the different reasons why kids have meltdowns this week.
Right. Okay.
And this is a very common concern that parents come to us with. They arrive at our office and they say, you know, my child is having these horrible emotional outbursts. Sometimes they call them rages. Sometimes they call them meltdowns. Sometimes they say they just lose it. Mm-hmm. All kinds of different ways in which we describe meltdowns. But it's a big concern.
Right. It is a big concern because if you divide whatever we call it, if you divide it into two parts, mm-hmm. Prior to age five, mm-hmm. because by age five, children should stop having meltdowns. They should
temper
stop
tantrums.
Having temper tantrums.
Right.
Okay. So it's not abnormal because what we're looking for is what's unacceptable, what's
right.
abnormal. Okay.
Right.
So it's not abnormal for a three-year-old to have a temper tantrum.
Right.
It is abnormal for a six-year-old to have a temper tantrum.
Right.
So if we look at age five as the dividing line mm-hmm. and say, okay, prior to age five, we're going to call them something and deal with them one way. After age five, we're going to become very concerned because
right.
by age five, temper tantrums should stop.
Right.
And if they haven't, there's work to be done.
Right.
Okay.
And so we have age as one sort of defining characteristic
right.
of differentiating between temper tantrums and mm-hmm. meltdowns. Another one that's important and that is present along the developmental spectrum,
right.
even in younger kids, is the difference between a temper tantrum, and we know about the temper tantrum where
right.
the kid is losing, mm-hmm. you know, pitching a fit because they want something that they're not allowed to have, or they, you know, can't do something that they want to do, and
right.
limits are placed on them and things like that. A meltdown is something different. A meltdown is a scenario where a kid is not just losing it, but any attempts, anything that you're doing to try to curb it
mm-hmm.
only worsens it. These are emotional meltdowns where the kid really does completely lose control.
You know, I've been thinking since we've been discussing this topic for a couple of days as we mm-hmm. prepared to do this, I was thinking about that differentiation. And I'm thinking that the word morphology
mm-hmm.
might describe. So we have this temporal character, the time,
right.
age five. So that one is time,
mm-hmm.
but the other is morphology.
Right.
A rage attack or a meltdown looks very different
right.
than a temper tantrum.
Right.
And you're right. There's time and morphology.
Right.
And I think what we have to become better at is differentiating based on morphology.
Right, mm-hmm. right, and it's challenging. But those parents of kids who have authentic meltdowns, despite their age,
mm-hmm.
know that that's different than a temper tantrum.
You can,
it's difficult to describe, but you know it.
You can taste it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You just know there's something about a rage attack or a meltdown that
mm-hmm.
just looks different, sounds different, feels different than a temper tantrum.
It increases the temperature in the room.
Oh.
It just makes everything so electrically charged.
That's right. The room crackles during an emotional meltdown.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't during a temper tantrum. It's almost comical
right.
to watch a temper tantrum.
Right.
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 Mm-hmm. Unless
yeah.
it's in a grocery store.
That's right.
Then it's not comical.
Then it's a little comical.
But it's still a temper tantrum. You know, there was a great ad. Well, never mind. I can't talk about it here because it wasn't. It was an ad made in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
not the United States.
Uh-huh.
And there are things they can do on TV.
Oh.
In Sweden that we can't do here, so I can't give you the details. But it was comical following a temper tantrum.
That really makes me want to ask you to send me that commercial. Okay. I will send it to you now.
It's a wonderful, wonderful commercial. Yeah. But it's based on, you know, a dad in a grocery store with a kid, and he's rolling his eyes while his kid's having this temper tantrum, and then there's an ad for, mm-hmm. For the product, you know. But we can't do it in prime time.
That's funny. So we're going to talk this week about different reasons why kids might have meltdowns. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some... Well, we're going to save the one that's probably the most common reason that parents come to us. We're going to save that one for last.
Right. For the end of the...
For the end of this week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to talk about some of the more typical ones and almost talk about them in order of... ease of response, the strategies that we use to deal with them. And so we're going to start today with parenting. Parents. Sit back.
I'm laughing because sometimes it is the parents' fault.
Sometimes it is. Right. And you know, there are lots of places that you read and they'll say, you know, parents don't cause temper tantrums and they don't cause meltdowns and things like that. Typically, you're right. Right. They don't. However, there are absolutely things that parents do that elicit or contribute to meltdowns. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Well, and we said a few minutes ago that a temper tantrum mm-hmm. is almost a normal part right. of child. It's like stuttering is a normal part of language development. Mm-hmm. A temper tantrum is a normal part of a child's behavioral development.
Right.
Okay, so the parent isn't causing it
right.
as such.
Right.
But might be responsible for some part of it.
Right, and maybe exacerbating it.
Right, that's...
You know, when a child is having a temper tantrum or they're having a meltdown and the parent is doing things that are that's contributing to the escalation of that meltdown, you are in a very real sense, you know, maintaining it, you're encouraging it to continue regardless of what initially triggered the emotional meltdown. Mm-hmm. There are things that you may be doing that's contributing to it. Moreover, sometimes these meltdowns begin as routine, typical temper tantrums. Right. But if you are doing certain things that we'll talk about in just a second, if you're doing certain things, you could take that typical developmentally appropriate temper tantrum and turn it into a meltdown.
That's right. And I call these the two E's. Mm-hmm. E as in Edward. Mm-hmm. One is exacerbate, mm-hmm. and the other is extinguish.
Right.
So when a child is having one of these prior to age 5 temper tantrums, you're going to select one of the E's.
Right.
Okay? You're either going to exacerbate, mm-hmm. or you're going to extinguish.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's certainly talk about the exacerbating this temper tantrum first. When a child is having a temper tantrum, they're looking for certain things.
That's right.
And most of the time, many times, what they're really looking for is something, either attention, either the candy in this grocery store, or some activity or something,
right.
some tangible thing. Mm-hmm. But they're wanting something. There are parents, and I'm certainly not going to generalize this too much, but there are parents who will, with the idea that this is going to help extinguish the behavior, but it actually exacerbates it, is that they will almost taunt the child with the item or with the activity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the confusion and the frustration and the overwhelming inability to maintain their emotions in the child. When this is happening, you know, you've seen parents who, well, you know what, since you're going to act like that, you can't have it, but your sister can have it.
Right.
And those kinds of actions can turn a temper tantrum, just a regular temper tantrum, into an emotional meltdown.
That's right. There are things parents can do and not do mm-hmm. that will transform a temper tantrum into a rage attack.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we want to make sure that we're not doing those things.
That's right.
That's the easy.
First, do no harm.
Right.
Okay. If it's better to do nothing mm-hmm. than to do something like that. Because remember, you're dealing with a child younger than five mm-hmm. Who has limited language abilities, mm-hmm. who has limited social skills. They don't know how to negotiate this stuff. Mm-hmm. They have a shorter fuse than an adult, number mm-hmm. one. So they will melt. They will have a tantrum sooner mm-hmm. at three than they will at right. eight. Okay, so the fuse is shorter. You need to remember that. But also, they have limited language.
Right.
If I'm talking to you and you're not paying attention to me, I have socially appropriate ways where I can get your attention. Mm-hmm. I can touch mm-hmm. you. I can make you make eye contact. Those are social skills that you develop over right. many years. A 3 and 4 year old does not possess those kind of social skills. So they reach for the next tool in their toolkit, which is, I have to get louder in order to get her attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they are unable to control those emotions.
Right.
And it's not an authentic emotional dysregulation, like we'll talk mm-hmm. about later this week. It is just a developmentally appropriate inability right. to maintain those okay. emotions.
I don't know.
I'm so angry, and I don't know what to do with
it. I don't know what else to do.
Right.
And so I'm going to throw myself on the floor and begin flailing around like mm-hmm. a fish. Okay. Because right. I don't know what else to do. And what the child is saying is, I don't yet possess the social skills needed mm-hmm. to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right.
And if the parent sees it as nothing more than that, mm-hmm. They won't exacerbate.
Right.
They won't make it worse. They won't do anything to make it worse. That's the first thing I think is very good advice for a parent, is don't make it worse.
Right.
First, do no harm.
Right. Another way that parents can exacerbate, and sort of it is in the same line, is as kids get older, and even into adolescence, it sort of continues with taunting, but mm-hmm. a different kind of taunting. It's a push. It's a, you know, we have to okay. continue this poking, this. Oh no, you're not going to walk away from me. Oh no, we're going to finish mm-hmm. this. Oh no, this is what's going to happen. Oh no, I'm the parent, so you're that's going right. to submit.
That's right. If you don't stop, mm-hmm. this is they start to threaten, mm-hmm. they provoke, they exacerbate,
right.
and make it worse.
And again, doesn't even in this situation certainly doesn't necessarily start with a temper tantrum, but it can start with most anything.
Right.
You know, hey son, it's time for you to go mow the yard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do I have to do it now? That is a normal, mm-hmm. I think, right. normal
right.
frustration that kids will experience and express when having to do something that they mm-hmm. really don't want to do. I feel the same thing.
Right.
When I look out there and I think, oh, I gotta go mow the yard, it's the same kind of emotion. They're expressing it verbally, yeah. and we feel it internally.
That's right.
They're just experiencing the same exact thing that we are. But what happens is that some parents will jump all over that,
right.
and they will continue. They'll start pushing and pushing and pushing and poking, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, how dare you roll your eyes? How dare you, you know, mm-hmm. Do this and do that, and mm-hmm. talk back to me? And you know, when I say it's time to do it, it's time to do it. And
right, and right,
all that's of a, that just
that escalates, that exacerbates.
Right.
You know, so you don't want to escalate, you don't want to exacerbate, and you don't want to create a second problem.
Right.
Mowing the yard is not about obedience.
Right.
Okay. And if so, don't turn it into something else.
Right.
Okay.
And it's not about, if your kid is going to go out and mow the yard, why does he have to like it?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that matter?
Yeah. Well, whether you like it or not has nothing to do with it.
I don't like mowing the yard, right. but I go out and mow the yard. Right. Why do we have to like it to do it? So it's the same thing with washing dishes and, you know, right. cleaning up our rooms and all those kinds of things. So just because they're expressing displeasure with it doesn't
right.
mean that we have to punish or we have to
that's
ridicule
right.
or poke.
After age 5, you have to be very careful of provocation because
right.
it takes less provocation, it takes less poking to light somebody, to ignite somebody.
Yeah.
You know, what you don't want to do is ignite your children. You
right.
don't want to provoke to the point of ignition.
Right.
So don't, as a parent, don't do anything to escalate, because kids will escalate. Because mm-hmm. once you begin to escalate, you move from the task at hand
right.
to a whole other issue. And
right.
the child's willing to go there because that delays
right.
the task.
Right. And it may be in their mind initially that if you know, I don't want to do it, so do I have to do it now?
Right.
So there's some avoidance there initially, but as soon as that provocation, that escalation begins, mm-hmm. then you know they're likely to lose control. And they're right. likely to have a meltdown.
That's right.
And so we have to avoid those things as parents. And I think that the saddest thing is that when I work with parents who are in this kind of situation, they know this. Mm-hmm. They know, well, I know that, you know, every time that I do this or every time I ask mm-hmm. him to do that, he ends up having a meltdown. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the logical thing is let's figure out what's happening in that interaction right. to see how we can prevent mm-hmm. it from happening.
That's right. Because sometimes, you know, you mentioned the yard mowing. I want it to be done right now. Well, maybe your child isn't ready to stop the activity they're engaged mm-hmm. in, which is legitimate. There are times when somebody in my house, could be my wife or my children, will ask me to do something, and I'm right in the middle of some other task. And so...
Even if they see it as an important task.
It's unimportant to them.
Right.
I mean, they don't know whether I can stop or not. Mm-hmm. If I'm working on if I'm writing a report, for example, they don't know where I am in that report, whether mm-hmm. I can say sure mm-hmm. or whether I have to delay, you know, say, no, I need 10 more minutes. But all of us might, the issue might be that we don't want to stop what we're doing. It's mm-hmm. not that we don't intend right. to do what we're asked to do.
Right.
We just may not be ready to stop the activity that we're currently engaged in.
Right. And that activity may be playing Candy Crush. It could be, you know, it could be any of those things.
That's right.
It could be a game, just like they could be playing a game and want to finish a particular thing before yeah. they move on.
It may not.
The same thing happens to us.
Right. They may not be working on a cure for the common cold.
Right.
But it is important to them.
Right.
And so respect
But reading
that.
Your Facebook updates to you may be just as important as finishing a mission on a video game to them.
Right.
So we have to just consider those things.
Right. Give them time to mm-hmm. disengage. Because if you don't, if you can, then you have initiated a power struggle.
Right.
And that's what you want to avoid. Is
right.
You want to avoid the power struggle. Who's in right. charge here? That's not the issue. Don't create a second issue about
right.
who's in charge.
Right.
Let's just get the yard taken care of.
Right. So the other E, the extinction,
mm-hmm.
we want to get rid of the meltdown or the temper tantrum or
if
whatever
it's,
the case may be.
Right.
The way that we get rid of it is we don't give it fuel. We don't...
Deprive it of oxygen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you say you need to go out and mow the yard, and they go, do I have to do it now? Well, you know, I need it done. It's going to rain in about an hour
right.
or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like for you to get out there as soon as possible to get out to get it started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable.
Right.
You know, so can you get it started like in the next 10 or 15 minutes?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a reasonable way to manage that, where you're getting what you're wanting, the yard mode,
right.
and they have enough of a buffer that they should be able to wrap up whatever they right. need to wrap up in 10 or 15 minutes.
And we call that a win-win.
Right.
Every interaction with your child or spouse or teacher should be a win-win.
Right.
Everybody should get what he or she wants.
Right.
Okay. That's all we're after is win-win.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so if your kid is doing things that you don't want him to do or asking for things or wanting things that you don't want her to have, there are ways to communicate that
That's right.
that do not exacerbate these types of meltdowns or these types of temper tantrums.
Mm-hmm. Because what we want ultimately is for our child to say, wow, mom's really reasonable.
Right.
You know, so this is fair. I'll
right.
do it. Or the alternative is, I better do it or I'm going to be punished.
Right.
So we can do all of these things either way.
Right.
Much easier to use a collaborative approach and just everybody gets what he or she is looking for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right.
With youngsters,
uh-huh.
younger than five, mm-hmm. deprive the temper tantrum of oxygen.
Right.
That means ignore. Because the only way you're going to stop it is to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to finally extinguish a behavior
right.
that you don't want, is you have to ignore it. And a temper tantrum is neither dangerous nor
mm-hmm.
destructive.
Right.
You know, they're usually not breaking things. You talked earlier about the morphology.
Right.
A child having a temper tantrum isn't going to start throwing dishes around the house.
Right.
That's something very different.
Right.
Okay.
A meltdown.
You can't ignore.
Right.
You can't ignore a meltdown if the child's breaking things and
right.
attacking a sibling or attacking a parent. You can't ignore that
Right.
That's one of the morphological differences between mm-hmm. a meltdown and a temper tantrum. Temper tantrum is easy to ignore. Mm-hmm. You simply walk away,
right.
and it will stop because right. you're depriving it of the fuel that it needs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Older than that, you de-escalate. If it's mm-hmm. over children who are 5 and older, you simply de-escalate.
Right.
Use a collaborative approach
yeah.
and don't do anything to make it worse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So, all right, we will be back tomorrow to talk about another potential mm-hmm. cause of meltdowns. And those are that's meltdowns associated with ADHD.
Right. And we're going to move up a little bit on the scale.
Mm-hmm. All right. So until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Mm-hmm.